When the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show.
The best soccer show in the whole world.
All right, it's the best soccer show on Twitter Spaces. USA roster out for the final three games of World Cup qualifying. As soon as I can get Jared Dubois on the mic, we will have him do that. All right, let me just make sure he's there.
That's Jared Dubois?
That Jared Dubois, the roadies. Should I do the sound effect like without the whole drop board and everything, or should we just forge ahead?
I would love to hear you make an attempt.
No, I'm not going to recreate that. All right. So you might get, because this is Twitter Spaces and not the normal show, you might get some Spanish language kids music in the background. So if that happens, forgive me. Thiago is here learning every single day, as you know, the kids have to do. So let's talk about this roster, Jared.
Wait, you're telling me he's in Mexico?
Just because he speaks Spanish does not mean he's Team Mexico.
Just making sure your house is in order.
If anything, he's Team Puerto Rico, and they're not going to be a challenger anytime soon. Let's just move forward with that. All right, so we got this roster. Jared, there are surprises in this roster, and you and I went through all of our thoughts. I think we whiffed on a couple, and certainly there are some guys here we didn't expect.
We should have just thrown darts at a board.
I mean, is that the way you feel about? I mean, certainly, like the fact that Eric Palmer Brown made this team, the fact that James Sands made this team, those two names jump out at me right away. And we talked about how thin they were at center back. If Chris Richards was not healthy, if Greg Berhalter didn't turn to John Brooks, and sure as hell, no, he didn't turn to John Brooks.
Yeah, the defense is really the place that's making this feel kind of awkward and weird. It shows how far John Brooks has fallen. Something was said, something had to have happened that we don't know about, because at this point, it's not performance-based. There's no way it's performance-based. Because
didn't Greg Berhalter say, when asked last time, that it was just about form? And here he is calling in. I know Eric Palmer Brown is playing in France at Troyes, but he hasn't been in a national team maybe ever this kind of stage.
He has two caps. He has two total caps.
He has two caps.
And listen, he
called up James Sands.
Yeah.
Who James Sands can barely get on the field for Rangers right now.
And I've watched Eric Palmer Brown highlights of the last few games. He looks good. He really does. I don't want to take anything away from him. But this is the Azteca. He's got two caps. And you've got a senior veteran, World Cup experience center back that plays in the Bundesliga at a high level week in, week out. And he's not selected. At some point, Berhalter owes the fans and the community an explanation beyond form.
Does he? Okay, no, I don't think – here's the thing. I don't think he does if they get the points and they qualify. I really don't. If they don't qualify, then, yeah, that's going to be – I mean, look, he's going to lose his job no matter what if they don't qualify. So it doesn't – I think that's the game he's playing. Like, clearly something is wrong with that relationship. And I was thinking about this before we jumped on. Yeah, John Brooks not being there is it's not shocking because he wasn't in the last team and he wasn't in the team before that, right? It's not shocking. It's just that we don't really see a better option, and so it is hard to explain. But maybe we should focus on the guys who will be there because it's up to them now to qualify.
Yeah, and listen, the only thing Eric Palmer Brown is guilty of at this point is not being John Brooks. He's going to get a lot of undue attention because of that fact. And by the way, I saw you put him out there as EPB. We need to nix that. That sounds like a bootleg pregnancy test off the.
No, it does not. Come on, man.
Yeah,
there's a long history. Hold on. There's a long history of using initials for American soccer players, for athletes. Come on, there's nothing wrong with EPB.
I'm just saying, that one sounds like you had a night that you want to forget about and you need to figure out if you're in trouble for the next night.
I think it sounds closer to APB, which is not, I'm not saying that, I mean, that's not necessarily, that's a bad thing, I guess. Bad, is it a bad, I don't know.
I think it stands for emergency pick Berhalter.
Well, yeah, I guess it is. Now, look, if everything goes to plan, Eric Palmer Brown doesn't have to see the field.
Yeah,
but there's another name. Hold on.
Aaron Long. Okay.
That's what it is, right? I'm sorry. You were going to say it. I said it. I was going to say it. Aaron Long. If Aaron Long is not 100% fit, then you have a problem. If he is 100% fit, then you've got a rotation of three pretty strong center backs.
So the question is, has Aaron Long's fitness made John Brooks expendable? And that's an okay conversation, I think, to have. I just don't know that Aaron Long's had enough minutes
to make the
whole entire fan base feel that that is the case.
It's a why not both situation, not one or the other. And obviously, again, Berhalter has clearly sent a message that he does not intend to call John Brooks up under any circumstances, regardless of issues at center back or John Brooks playing fairly well at Wolfsburg right now. I mean, that ship has sailed. Now, let's you know, that's one area that we have concern. There's now concern at fullback. Now, look, Jedi Robinson is the only trustworthy left back that they have, and he didn't go out and he didn't call up Joe Scally to cover at that position. There's not another left back on the roster, and now we hear that Sergiño Dest, after his injury today for Barcelona coming off the field, it might not be able to play. So he was in the roster. They released the roster with name on it, but he very well could be replaced. The first name that Berhalter brought up was George Bello. Now, he did say Joe Scally, but he said Bello first. Does that indicate to you that Bello's the first guy up?
Yeah, because the fact of not having another left back, that means they obviously saw Sergiño Dest's ability to go on both sides as the cover. Sergiño Dest was both the choice, the right choice, right back choice, and the left back cover. Now, that being said, you have a player that can do the same thing in terms of coverage on both sides in Joe Scally. But in George Bello, you have someone who's naturally left-footed and is a pure replacement for Anthony Robinson should he not be able to go. The question is, does Berhalter want the flexibility of having a player that can do both, just like Sergiño Dest, or does he want a straight man-for-man? And I think at this point, with losing Sergiño Dest and what he brings, he's going to go straight chalk, and I think he takes Bello.
Okay, well, I mean, again, that's kind of what – because there are three games – in a week, you do wonder about running Jedi ragged, right? Like, that's going to be the issue. He played all three matches the last time around. Did he go to 270 minutes? I don't really recall.
I think so. I believe so. I think he's one of the only players that did.
So, knowing that Berhalter doesn't have any other left-back options that he really trusts, that probably means 270 minutes for Jedi, unless he is either getting roasted or he gets injured, at which point you are in trouble anyway, I suppose, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit of walking wounded kind of situation for the U.S. national team. And the crazy thing is, over the course of the entire qualifying campaign, defense has been the thing that you've centered your team around. The amount of goals they've given up, the number of clean sheets, the U.S. has been tremendously good defensively. So to now have some questions going into the final window with the area of the field that you've been most confident is a little bit tricky. That being said, you still have starters in the defense. You have Walker Zimmerman, you have Miles Robinson, you have Anthony Robinson. It's just Sergiño Dest, who has not started every game. There's been plenty of games where he did not start, and the U.S. still did well, and there's guys in Yedlin and Cannon that can fill in there very well. The problem is, it's just the layer behind it. That's the part that we all of a sudden have issues with, is that if you have a three-game window, are you going to ask all four of those players to play every game? That means you have to count on Aaron Long or Eric Palmer-Bound starting a game.
You're going to go from the Azteca with the altitude, and not so much the heat and the smog, because it is a night game on Thursday, to Orlando, where there will be some humidity. I don't think it's going to be, you know, 90 degrees with 90% humidity, but it's not going to be comfortable either. And then you got to go down to Costa Rica, which is not going to be comfortable. It never is. And the weather's a factor. So, I mean, you're not talking about like, oh, these guys are going to roll out 90 minutes each in 65 degree weather every time at sea level. There's going to be physical requests made of them that are pretty intense. And, you know, certainly you don't want to go to San Jose having to get a point, like needing a point to qualify. But what if you do? What if you have to go to San Jose and get a point to qualify?
You know what? That's a good question, man. I'm at a loss. I mean, if it is, first of all, you failed somewhere along the way if you're in that position.
Well, sure, secondly, but you don't throw your hands up and give up, right? You're gonna
absolutely not. But how do you line
pulling
up,
out the same
line,
lineup?
The question is, how do you line up for a point in Costa Rica? Do you line up conservatively and just try to play for the point?
Yeah.
To Costa Rica and try to control your own destiny. That is a position I really hope that we don't find ourselves in come that last day. And for me, man, you're talking about meeting a potent Costa Rica, and you've already played the majority of your guys probably 180 minutes at that point. I hope that Gio Reyna's got enough minutes in him at that point that he can start a game.
Yeah, let's go. So let's come to the midfielders and the forwards then. So midfielders are Costa, Adams, Buzio, De La Torre, Musa, and Roldan. I don't think there's any surprises. Buzio came back in time to be available. We knew De La Torre, Musa, Adams, and Acosta were going to be there. Roldan was, you know, a probable in our minds, although I think, you know, the Sebastian Lletget question was out there. He obviously didn't make it. So it's not super deep. You know, we already talked about Tyler Adams and the yellow card. Obviously, no Weston McKennie changes the dynamic of it. What do you think about the midfield?
You know, I'm happy that Busio was able to make to come in, because there's been a lot of conversation about the Weston McKennie replacement. And obviously there is no one like for like. I don't think that Busio starts a game in the Azteca. I don't think that's the place that we're at right now. I think Tyler Adams, with Busio coming in, it does allow you maybe to be a little bit more aggressive with using Tyler Adams in minutes, and maybe you play him in Mexico, because now you have not just Kellen Acosta to back him up. You have someone in Busio who's not a pure number six, but someone that another option in the midfield. And let's be honest with ourselves, Tyler Adams' yellow card situation is why James Sands is on this roster. And there's no way he is an elite World Cup level center back, third choice, second choice center back. He is a guy that gives cover at two positions, one of which you have the yellow card issues. That's why James Sands is in this roster.
It's a good point. I mean, there isn't another clear choice at the six pretty much anywhere else in the pool. I mean, we've been through the Jackson Ewell experiment. That obviously didn't work out. You know, there's not enough. Yeah, Johnny Cardoso is not there yet, clearly. Mm-hmm. Certainly, Berhalter doesn't trust him. And, you know, Alan Senora down in Argentina, whatever role he plays in midfield, he's not going to go for a guy like that. So this is, you're right, it's kind of a roll of the dice there when it comes to that.
My question for you, and we've talked about this before, you've been suspect on whether or not you think De La Torre and Musa can play in the same midfield. What do you think
it's not that I don't think they can play together. They can't play together. I just don't think it's as dynamic a midfield. But if you're going to have more of the ball, or if you're going down to Mexico City and you're not necessarily concerned about having the ball because Mexico's going to just, they're going to control the pace of the game, then I don't know if I necessarily worry too much. I mean, I just think that, you know, it's impossible to replace McKennie, but if you're going to try, then yeah, both of those guys are competent, and I trust them on the ball. So in terms of in possession, I'm okay with it. They're going to drive the ball forward. They're going to look to spray the ball wide and utilize those wide players that the U.S. has, because that's what we're looking for, right? Pulisic, Aronson, Weah, those guys to be effective. So I'm not saying they can't play together. It's more like crying over the fact that Weston McKennie won't be there.
Okay, so let's get a couple cards on the table. I know we still got to get the forwards, but let's get a couple cards on the table from midfielders right now. Yes or no for you, Tyler Adams starts in Azteca?
Oh, man, look.
I'll answer as well.
I was a solid no. I've seen the argument that you roll him out there on the theory that at home against Panama is your quote-unquote easiest game of the window, and that Kellen Acosta should be good enough to get the job done if for some reason, Adams gets a yellow card in Mexico and is suspended. And then you have Adams to go to San Jose with sort of fresh. I've seen that argument. I still think you load up for the Panama game. So I'm going to say no, Tyler Adams does not start against Mexico.
I'm going to go with the same thing. I'm going to go with Kellen Acosta. So that being said, then who's your other two midfielders from the Mexico game?
In that case, with Acosta at the six, you know, if we're going on the assumption that De La Torre and Musa is the first choice pairing, then I guess it might be a Musa Roldan kind of situation. I don't know. Yeah,
I'm gonna go De La Torre Musa. I'm gonna roll the dice. I'm gonna say that because here's my thing. When we get to the forwards, I think Jesus Ferreira starts in that game, and that's going to drop that number nine deeper. And I think there's going to be a little more coverage in the midfield. And I think you can get away with having those two options out there. So
that's coverage on the ball. I'm not sure that's a lot of coverage off the ball, but that's okay.
It still makes it tighter. It makes it more compact, having that deeper off the forward line.
I suppose if you're trying to slow Mexico down, you know, getting out of the back, if you're hoping that Mexico just can't just play through your midfield, if you're going to play only a lone defensive midfielder in Acosta, then I guess that's true.
Okay, so you're on the record. Jason Davis is saying Christian Roldan's a starter in Azteca and Mexico.
Look, I'm going on the theory that you're not punting the Mexico game completely. No, you can't do that. But you have to be smart and strategic about this because
there will be people that say that you not starting Tyler Adams and putting Christian Roldan in there is punting the Mexico game.
Well, okay, you find me the other option. If you don't start
De La Torre. I told you, I'm doing De La Torre and Musa, and I'm putting a little more offensive.
Well, look, the other argument is to play Busio in one of those positions. But but he's obviously much less mobile than either one of those guys. He's going to spray the ball around, but again, how much are you going to have it there? And is he going to give you enough defensive cover to feel comfortable? So I don't know. I see your argument. Roldan at least is going to do the work. I don't think he's one of the best options at the eight, but I think he's going to do the work, and I think that matters. Go City.
Yeah, he's definitely the missionary position of that lineup.
Okay, that's I don't have the drops. I told you forwards: Brendan Aaronson, Paul Arriola, Jesus Ferreira, Jordan Morris, Jordan Pefok, Ricardo Pepi, Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna, and Tim Weah. First of all, a couple things. Maybe the first ever U.S. men's national team roster to include two different Jordans. Yes. Double Jordan.
Dude, that's the most American thing ever, dude.
Yeah. And we've got two Jordans.
You know that Berhalter's going to have Jordans on the sideline.
I know. It's a pair of Jordans and a pair of Jordans. We got quadruple Jordans happening, most likely.
Double baby, triple double.
All right. The PFOC call up is like understandable, and I think we both predicted that he would be in this team, or hoped that we would cross our fingers that he would, because he's the only informed striker that the U.S. has at the moment. You're already on the record as saying that Ferreira is going to start in the Azteca. I can see that.
My preference.
Yeah, Ricardo Pepi's in the team. I get why he's here. Again, it's a bunch of bad options in terms of that position. You know, obviously Gio was one we talked about, and I think I said that even if Gio's not 90 minutes fit and you would prefer to leave a spot for a 90 minute fit player, he is a game changing type of guy. And there aren't that many of those guys in the pool. So you have to bring him.
Especially even if we get 30 minutes, that's 30 minutes of Christian Pulisic, one of the most fouled players in the world, somehow setting up a set piece in the forward third. And you want Gio Reyna on that ball.
Yeah, that's part of it for sure. If Gio was 90 minutes fit, then I could understand if we might be talking about Gio even slipping into midfield in one of these games. I've seen that argument. Greg hasn't shown any propensity to do it, but I do think that he's of the forward group. Reyna is the best suited to play in one of those roles in that three-man midfield. Whereas Aaronson clearly doesn't work there. He doesn't find the ball enough. He's not the guy who's going to pick his head up the midfield stripe and, you know, make the right decisions. He's not going to go win a bunch of balls in the air. He's not going to be, you know, he'll chase players down, but he's better from.
If all you wanted was industry, then that's your guy.
Right, exactly. Well, industry, but industry off the ball. Because Aaronson works best off the ball. Yeah, when he gets the ball, he can be dangerous, but you want him getting the ball 25, 30 yards from goal. You don't want him in midfield having to dribble players, having to figure out how to work out problems in midfield.
Yeah, I mean, you can think of a player back to Michael Bradley in his prime and the industry that he had, the engine that he had, and that's a different type of player. It doesn't take just the engine. It's what you do with it. It's important.
Yeah, I think that I want Aaronson in the forward line if he is on the field. Ariel is not a surprise. Again, we talked about Ferreira already.
Jordan Morris is a bit of a surprise.
Okay.
He bumbled the ball in across the line against the Galaxy from 1 foot away. That's a goal, great. But if you're being objective, I don't think he's looked good for Seattle to start the season.
So where would be the other option? Who would be the guy to call in over him?
The conversation there for me, and when I was making my lineup in my head, was Josh Sargent. For this exact reason of the fact he's not playing a number nine for his club team. The success he's had in the Premier League, any bit that you want to argue, has been from a wider position where Jordan Morris is going to play.
I think we can only presume that Berhalter simply doesn't see Sargent working on the wing in the U.S. system. And therefore, he seems him as a nine. And if he's not playing as a nine in his club team, then he's not getting called up as a nine for the U.S. men's national team. That's it.
And honestly, though, between now and December, Josh Sargent has a PR problem then, because I don't see that role changing with his club team. And so someone needs to market him otherwise, because Berhalter obviously doesn't see him that way.
Well, if he does truly start banging in goals in the championship at the beginning of next year, then maybe it's a different conversation. You know, regardless of where he plays, he's got a couple of goals in the Premier League for a bad team. Like, if his resume was deeper, then we might not be having this conversation. But I don't know. I mean, again, I think it's pretty clear that Berhalter is rigid with some of these guys in terms of what roles he sees them as playing. So that means that if you're not lining up in that spot with your club team, then you're just not going to be in the national team.
Okay. And did you make your way through all the names?
You dropped out there. What was that?
Did you make your way through all the names?
We did not do goalkeeper yet. Want to come back to goalkeeper?
Yeah, we'll go back to that. So with forwards, so for me, Azteca, we're talking about Christian Pulisic. I mean, Christian Pulisic may be a 270-minute. Nah, that's not true. He'll get subbed out at the end of some of the games. He's a starter all three games, I think. Assuming you don't have it locked up by the last game.
Really, do you think that there's a chance? Again, on the theory that the Mexico game is less important than the game following it in Orlando against Panama, that the lineup against Mexico could be something like Aronson, Ferreira, Morris. Aronson, Ferreira, Areola.
Man, I think that you're talking about Berhalter having a lot of pressure. I think you can't not put him on the field. And also, like, you don't have Tyler Adams. You don't have Weston McKennie. Maybe Walker Zimmerman's your captain, but who's your captain in this team?
And I'm not worried about that. I mean,
I guess you're not worried about having a leader?
No, I think leadership matters. I just don't think that I'm necessarily worried about who's wearing the armband.
Do you think the other 10 players in the starting lineup feel more confident with Pulisic on the field or off?
That's a very good question. I would presume more confident, but I don't know for a fact. I mean, he did go through a rough patch, right? I mean,
if Pulisic's not on the field to start in that second, now you're talking about punting. Then you're really talking about punting, especially with the choices you've talked about making already.
Do you think that it matters as a signal to the rest of the team if Pulisic is in that starting lineup at the Azteca, regardless of what the rest of the makeup of
the team? You're talking about the guy that lifted up his shirt talking about mirrors and talking crap to the Mexican team. Yeah, it matters. Yeah, okay. It matters. You don't think they feel their snake bit against Christian Pulisic? They have to feel that way. But it's a mental edge.
So you think that the U.S. will lose something going into the Panama game, which is the more quote-unquote important game of the window, if they don't start Pulisic in the Azteca? Like, the loss in confidence cancels out whatever rest Pulisic will get ahead of the more important game in Orlando.
I think there's a decent likelihood that 3 points aren't enough to make it a foregone conclusion going into the Costa Rica game. That's what I'm thinking. So I think you play to get some kind of result out of the Azteca game. Do I think you go somewhat conservative? Yeah, but I still think Pulisic in the lineup is necessary to make sure that there's a release valve when the ball goes the other way. I think Brendan Aaronson doesn't have the ability to take over a game like Christian Pulisic does. And honestly, with Weston McKennie now out of the roster, he was clearly the most informed player in the U.S. men's national team pool. Who's that player now? Who's
the most
informed player? It's Pulisic.
Yeah, which is wild because it's been a month or a month and a half or whatever it's been.
Crazy.
He's a
late – for some reason, this kid loves the spring and summer. There's something about it, man, that brings it out in him.
He shows up in big games. He tends to do that too. Let me just give a – so the yellow card situation, we know about Tyler Adams. That's the argument for not starting him against Mexico because you need him against Panama and you can't risk it. DeAndre Yedlin also on a yellow card. Jordan Pefok is actually on a yellow card. Zach Steffen is on a yellow card. And Tim Weah is on a yellow card. So, you know, I think Steffen could still start at the Azteca. I actually don't know. Let's go to goalkeepers in a second. This probably means Weah doesn't play at all against Mexico. If you want to save him for the game against Panama and Orlando, probably Reggie Cannon was going to start if Sergiño Dest was unavailable anyway.
Yeah.
So not necessarily an issue for DeAndre Yedlin. And then I said Pefok with a yellow card. You're saying that you would prefer to start Ferreira. That might actually help make the decision for Berhalter. Plus, if you want the most informed guy against Panama, then that's Pefok.
I'll be honest. I think I said this on Sunday too. I wouldn't be surprised if Pefok doesn't start a single game in this window. I think that I think Ferreira gives you something, a completely different look, and I think Berhalter's down to play that at least one of these. I think Ricardo Pepi has a history of being a starter for this team with mixed results, and I honestly think that PFOC is seen as a player that changes the game the last 30 minutes.
Might be. I mean, considering he hasn't been in the team since that window when he picked up the yellow card against Canada in September, the very first window of the qualifying process, then that would indicate that Berhalter doesn't see him.
What Ferreira and Pepi have in their advantage, not form, not history of scoring goals recently, but what they have in their advantage is Berhalter knows they can run his system, and PFOC does not have that advantage.
In terms of players that have been in the window or have been in the qualifying process that didn't get called up, just guys that, you know, obviously Matt Turner is out injured. He's played 720 minutes in qualifying. Weston McKennie, 623. I'm grabbing these from Paul Kennedy, by the way, Soccer America. He put them out there. Chris Richards didn't get called up. We can only presume he's not fit enough. 361 minutes. Sebastian Legette had 230 minutes, didn't get a call. He's just a healthy scratch kind of guy, just didn't make the team. McKenzie, 180 minutes. Now, we've heard something about McKenzie. He hasn't played recently or a lot recently in Belgium. That may be more than just coaching choice in terms of where he's at. I don't know what the details are on it, though. Obviously, Jossie Zardes not in this team. George Bello, who may come into the team now, has had 135 minutes so far. Brooks and Sargent. And then those are the guys that didn't make it that have had a little bit of say in the qualifying process so far. All right, let's talk goalkeeper quickly, since I mentioned Matt Turner there. Okay, Zach Steffen dressed for City, which means he's healthy enough to at least be a backup. Ethan Horvath gets in this team because he's had a good run at Nottingham Forest. Who's the starter, Jared?
I think it's Zach Steffen. I think that if he's healthy enough to be on the bench, he's healthy enough to potentially start. And like we said, unlike a lot of field players, he's not going to be asked to put a lot of wear and tear in his body over a 90-minute game. If he's good enough to be on the on a bench, I think he's good enough to start. There isn't a question around form and how many minutes, but that's always been a question around Steffen because he doesn't get the minutes. So if he's good enough to be your starter for a bunch of other games and a bunch of other windows over the course of the year as a backup, he's good enough to start now. And I don't think there's anything really Ethan Horvath can do in the short time that he's been starting that would push him out. Because at the end of the day, we got to remember, going back to the game against Columbus, I believe it was, or Cincinnati, one of those two games, whichever the first one of that window was, Matt Turner was lights out. Matt Turner had been lights out for a while, and he still lost the job to Steffen. Berhalter sees Steffen as his clear number one. And he may not say it out loud, but the choices he makes tells us that. So if he's good enough to be on the bench, he's good enough to start.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way it's going to go. I'm not saying I'm even 100% sure that Horvath should start over him. And I'm not even 100% sure that I think form matters necessarily at that position as much as it does in other places. But it's not like I'm 100% comfortable with Steffen starting either. So it just is what it is, right? It's a bad situation with a guy coming back from injury, a guy who hadn't played in 6 months, finally getting some time. And your clear number two, who's for some people is the number one, getting hurt at the wrong time. That's just the way this goes sometimes.
I honestly feel the keeper situation is less of a talking point when you're talking about goals defensively. I think it's more about, does Tyler Adams start? I think it's more about, do you have enough center back coverage in front of you? Who are you calling up to replace Sergiño Dest? All of those conversations to me matter more in terms of talking about the defensive abilities of this team over the next three games than whether or not Steffen or Horvath start. I'm comfortable with either one, to be honest with you.
Jared, do you want some quotes from John Brooks about his situation?
Oh, please tell me that they're spicy.
So Derek Ray, everyone knows Derek Ray, just put these out about half an hour ago. Talking to John Brooks, Brooks said, "Months ago, I accepted responsibility for my play and the decision that kept me off a roster. Now I'm happy I've regained my form, but unfortunately I wasn't invited to camp. I accept this as the coach's decision, but I won't accept that I can't change this before the final World Cup roster selections. There should be no questions about my desire to play for this team. My plan is to fight as hard as I can to make it back to the U.S. men's national team. My American identity is at stake, an identity some have questioned over many years. We Americans have all been down and out at different times, but we always fight back, and I plan to do the same. So there you go.
I mean, he's toeing the line, right? Like, here's the thing. If this was after a World Cup selection, I doubt that that quote is as perfectly crafted as that one is. I mean, this he's saying the right things. And the crazy thing is he's been saying the right things for months now, and he's been doing the right things.
Yeah.
What else does he have to do? What's the answer to that question? And I really wish when Berhalter was in the middle of SportsCenter, someone had
Jared,
asked.
There's a hint in there. When he said, when he talked about his choice. Form and the decision that he made, the choice he made, that's where your hint is. I don't want to go deeper. No, I don't, because I'm not comfortable.
You've got a career. I don't. I'll say no.
Let me just say, I've heard some things, but I can't verify them. I don't know 100% that that's why Greg Berhalter left Brooks off any roster. So it would be irresponsible of me to say things that can't be verified, that aren't sourced, that are just hearsay and rumor.
I totally respect that. What I will say outside of that, and I just want to say this, I think if people want an answer to that question, they should look around the timing that Brooks lost his job and see what other things were going on in this team around that time, and then maybe start looking there as a reason for what – there has to be a holistic reason, right? Because it's not purely form. We know when he lost the job. What else are things were going around this team that he potentially could have participated in that would put him in this position? Right.
You're trying to lead people. You're trying to lead the horse to water. I'll see if anybody drinks on that. I'm going to leave that alone. Jared, I got to run. I'm sure you do too. Mr. Tiafoe is causing problems, and I'm going to get in trouble. So thank you to everybody for listening to this special Spaces edition of the Best Soccer Show. We're going to put this out as a podcast if you missed any of it. So make sure you check out the Best Soccer Show podcast feed. And follow Bestie Soccer on Twitter. That would make Morgan happy. Anything else, Mr. Dubois?
That's it, guys. Let's hope for good results.
Your best. Only the best.
Jay Rhodius.